Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
In Vegas, if 312-332-3776, line them up. We want to hear your thoughts. Jonathan Hood, Bears win in Vegas if
the Bears win in Vegas if the running game and pass protection are married together and be able to help the Bears flourish. The running game, even without Montgomery, you still have to be able to run the football. So I have the running game and the pass protection. And also, I would say this, is that for once, let's see if the Bears will utilize the tight end more so than Komet as a blocker. Can he get a couple of catches just to keep the line moving offensively, right? I'm not one, and I know we talked about this in crosstalk the other day about Cole Komet, right? And Yurko's all over him, just like, hey, you know, you had a draft pick on this guy. This guy's supposed to be able to pay dividends for the team. Okay. Can I just look at Cole Komet like I look at Justin Fields or other young players in this Bears team and say, you know what, his time's coming? Can I just, instead of just bust, wait a minute, hang on a second, okay? It's Justin Fields now, and he has to get comfortable with his weapons. Before we just stamp him as a bust, can you just get the guy in a position where he can help this team to get about 10 or 15 yards a clip? Can you do that? I know that he's not Travis Kelce. I understand that. But maybe he could be if you just put him in a position to succeed.
Maybe he will be with Justin.
Yeah, maybe he will.
Now, they've used him much more in a blocking role.
He needs to be in a catching role.
Agreed. If you're using a second-round pick, you're not drafting a blocker.
Let J.P. Holtz be that blocker.
Agreed.
That's all.
Agreed.
That's why he's
Jesse
on the roster,
James,
right?
Those guys.
Yeah, that's why he's on the roster, right?
Completely agree.
So among the things that I look at for this game against the Raiders, and I would agree with you that it's winnable, I still think the wild card is the crowd. I think it's going to be a big Bears crowd there. I could be wrong.
I do too.
I just think I think the Bears crowd there in Vegas is going to help. But the running game and cobble together 100 yards the best you can, right? I mean, Montgomery could do it by himself, but cobble together 100 yards or more if you can on the ground. The pass protection, I like for it to be as solid as it was against the Lions, and utilize a tight end. Give Fields more than just two options offensively.
Yeah, for me, the key is the defense getting pressure on Carr and getting a couple takeaways. I think Justin's going to make plays. I do. I'd play the over in the game, to be honest with you.
What's the number?
I think 44. Danny, what's the over right now in your sight? I think it's the last I looked is either 44 or 44 and a half.
FanDuel has it 44 and a half. Bears are getting 5.5 points. Bears are plus 198 on the money line, and the over-under is 44 and a half.
Yep, I'd go over, and I'd take the points with the Bear, and I'd sprinkle a little on the money line. I think they can win the football game. I really do. Like, I did not think they could beat Cleveland. I thought they'd keep it competitive. I didn't think they'd get eviscerated like they did. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Schaumburg. Ernest T. Bass. What's up, Ernest?
What's going on, you guys? How you doing?
What's up, Ernest? How's everything?
Good, man. I agree with both you guys. I think the key to the Bears winning is getting pressure on Derek Carr up front. And I also think the key for them offensively is controlling the tempo of the game, running the ball. I'm actually really excited for Khalil Herbert to get some run. I really like Khalil Herbert from what I saw him in the preseason. I know it's preseason, but I feel like even though Monty's out, they could still run the ball effectively with Herbert, Williams, and Fields. You know, hopefully now we can actually get Fields involved in the run game. But like you guys said, this is a very winnable game. It's not like when they go back and face Tom Brady. Like, I don't feel like that's a winnable game. But like this, I feel like they could win. So now I'll just go and listen to you guys now.
Appreciate you. Thank you. I have the Raiders as a 5-point favorite. The over-under is 44.5 on DraftKings.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Like, when the Bears are supposed to beat somebody, Bengals at home, Lions at home, in the Matt Nagy era, after 2018, they've gotten it done. They lose the games that we think they're going to lose. They win the games when we think they're going to win.
Yes.
How about upsetting somebody? How about we wake up Sunday, we find a way to win a damn football game, and you get going home on Sunday night, you're like, damn, Bears actually upset somebody.
Yeah.
They haven't done that in a long time.
It's not since the Buccaneer game.
That's correct. It's the last one I can remember.
Yeah, that's not since the, because I didn't recognize that Tom Brady, and it was unusual, and that was a good game for the Bears. I would, you know, okay, so maybe not the Raider game. Like, if you feel, even with the Bears being, again, a five-point underdog on DraftKings, if they beat the Raiders, is that an upset? An upset to me would be beating the Packers or beating Tampa on the road.
Beating the Packers on the road, I look at as that's more than an upset. That's like monumental.
Yeah.
Like, you get them in this building, fluky play, you sack Roger, whatever. Mm-hmm. It can happen. Mm-hmm. To win there? Whoa, that's a totally different level. But the Raiders aren't like, oh my goodness.
They're good.
They're okay. You can beat them.
The hope is that they're just going to be just okay against the Bears.
That's it.
Yeah, but again, it would be just nice because that could turn your season around.
Oh, man.
And it would just be just the weight off the shoulders of Justin Fields and that offense if they're able to do similar, actually better than what they had against the Lions. The Lions game, I don't consider it a bye. You got to beat who's on your schedule. I'm glad they won against the Lions instead of losing against them. But, you know, as we mentioned, we've documented, Cap, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games here right into the Lions' next game on Thanksgiving. It's a gauntlet. Raiders, Packers, Buccaneers, 49ers, Steelers. Tough. And Ravens.
That's it. Oh. Let's go.
Oh.
Mark in Logan Square. Hey, Mark, what's up, Sparkles?
What's up, guys? Defense got to play all four quarters. That goes hand-in-hand with the offense keeping the defense off the field. But we've seen in the past few weeks, defense, you know, they hold it down into the fourth quarter. It's kind of a collapse. I agree with Hoodie. I think that we got to get to the quarterback. And I also think there's going to be more Bear fans than Raider fans out there. Have a good day, guys.
You too, man. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you. Jim's in Elmhurst. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi, Jim.
Hey, I got a question about Cole Kmet. What do you guys think about it? You know, last week he stumbled a couple times trying to catch a pass. You know, he even stumbled when he was in motion once on that one where he fell in the end zone. And, you know, Adam Shaheen also had balance problems. And so I really don't understand why they're not giving Jesper Horsted a chance. I mean, he looked really good in the preseason. And I don't know if it's just because they don't want to admit their second-round pick isn't as good as they think he is. Just curious what you guys think about that.
Appreciate the call, man. Look, Cole Kmet I like a lot, and I hear he's a great student of the game. At some point, you got to make more plays than just be a blocking guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're a second-round draft pick. You got to make plays. When he was out there begging with a tin cup and a cane for a pass interference, and they ran the replay back, he wasn't touched from here to South Suburban College. He had no one around him.
Mm-hmm.
Flag! I got hit! No, you didn't. You, Freddie Keebler, the turf elf, got you.
Right.
So, yes, he's got to start making plays in the passing game. And hopefully with Justin, that'll happen.
That is the hope for the Bears. Again, more options, the better for the Bears. One other point I want to make, Cap, regarding the Raiders, and you talked about the pass rush, right? So let's take a look at the Raiders' offensive line. The offensive line for the Raiders have had some changes here, including with Leatherwood. I saw Leatherwood play for Alabama. He's a monster, big guy. They've moved him inside. The Raiders' offensive line has allowed a pressure rate of 27.6%, a sack rate of 6.6%, and 28 quarterback hits, tied for 25th. So it's also generating 3.25 yards per carry, 31st in the league. So, and I know that Josh Jacobs is a part of that, right, Jeff? When we talk about the running game, the health of Josh Jacobs is a big part of that. But the point is, though, is that I would like for the Bears to get the pressure, as you mentioned. The offensive line is vulnerable for the Raiders because of the changes that they've made. So hopefully the Bears can get to the quarterback and put some pressure on Carr.
Yeah, Josh Jacobs ran all over them when they were in London, remember?
Yes.
Was that 2 years ago? Or was that last year?
Last year.
Last year. It was the beginning of last year when things kind of started to go awry for the Bears. And he came back on Monday night, but he's been dealing with an ankle injury. Maybe it's turf toe, maybe if they're not being completely honest. So he struggled a bit when he came back, but I assume he'll be out there this Sunday as well. And if he's not at full health, you would hope the Bears could shut down the run game. And like you said, Hoodie, do what Joey Bosa talked about and, you know, rattle Derek Carr when you hit him.
Yeah, absolutely.
312-332-3776. Big shout out to Big C O'Neill on Twitter. Says, Captain Hoodie, the game we beat Tom Brady 1 year ago today.
Oh, wow.
How about that?
Think about that. Wow.
Yeah. This is fourth down. No.
So now we celebrate that, the anniversary of that game. We're celebrating.
Pretty much.
We're reading the tweet celebrating the anniversary of a regular season Bears victory. Maybe we don't do that again. Maybe we pass on that tweet.
Hey, it's about the last big win we've had. I mean, I'm tired of just beating on the Lions.
Speaking of the Bears.
The day they drafted Justin Fields was the best day in Bears history since that victory.
And he's a superstar.
Jeff Dickerson is next.
Take that.
Listening to Cap and Jay Hood at home is easier than setting your coffee maker.
This picture of domestic happiness is missing something.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
What a way to start the day.
Cap and Jay Hood.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Rolling on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. Hoodie, my brother just texted me and wants your opinion real quick, and we'll get to JD. What you think of Lucas Giolito over 4.5 strikeouts today?
If you believe the White Sox are going to win, you take the over in those strikeouts, right? So that means like 6 or 7.
I think the White Sox win, and I think Lucas pitches a gem.
Yeah, I think that I would take the over in that spot. For strikeouts.
I would be very, very surprised if he got lit up today. Very surprised.
That would be could be close to the end of the series if that's the case. But again, I'm not concerned about Giolito today. I'm concerned about how the Sox can keep the line moving offensively. I mean, that lineup is, and again, they hit lefties really well. And so that's going to be a positive for the Sox. Now, because you can hit lefties, do it in this big spot here in the playoffs.
All right, that leads us to our guy, Jeff Dickerson. He is our NFL and Bears insider. JD, good morning. What or who got to Matt Nagy and had him in 5 hours from Tuesday morning? Andy's the one, Justin's the two, Nick's the three, and got him to come around and go, Justin, come in the office. It's your job going forward.
Yeah, I think that he knew on Monday that this is the way they were going to go. I just don't really believe that there was all this, you know, consternation over sticking with Andy Dalton, who of course wasn't playing poorly before he got hurt, but he got hurt and that opened the door for Justin Fields. And that's just how life in the NFL works. And Andy Dalton knew that when he signed a, you know, 1 year deal, that's probably going to be, you know, $10 million for 6 quarters of football. I just felt like we talked about this when Matt Nagy initially made that comment. I just kind of felt like the only reason he said that was in the event that Justin Fields was horrendous multiple weeks. Now, he was bad against the Browns. If there would have been another Browns-like performance against the Lions, then they would have lost, and the quarterback would have struggled to make his throws, and just the whole thing would have fallen apart. Then maybe you could say, okay, hold on now. Going to Vegas, Raiders are angry. You know, they played horribly against the Chargers. They're a better team than that. Mm-hmm. Gruden, even though he's a cartoon character, he's smart. He's a real good X's and O's coach. This is a tough spot. Maybe we would have been better off with Dalton. But you can't, with Fields playing the way he played last week, the team has momentum. He's going to be your guy anyway. It just never made sense to go back to Dalton. So Cap, why the... You know, changing, you know, 2 days later, I don't know if it was gamesmanship or whatever, but at least finally now the messaging is on point where it's Justin Fields' job, barring injury, and now you just pour everything into developing this guy. They tried it. They tried the plan to let him sit, and Dalton got hurt, and that's plans change, and that's what happened here, and I think that there's no question they made the right decision, and this should be the guy going forward.
Tell us the latest on the injury situation, especially on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, not good, my friend. not good. Akeem Hicks with that groin injury did not practice Wednesday, did not practice yesterday. I think it's highly doubtful that he's going to play this weekend. I mean, you know, he went out on that first play, and you could just tell he knew the groin injury was bad. You know, took his gloves off, threw his gloves down, and, you know, he knew. So that's a tough one, Jonathan. I'll say Khalil Mack, I don't think there's any way that he misses a Raiders game. I can't see it. I mean, he plays hurt, and that's one of the things about Khalil Mack is he's a superstar, but even though he's banged up, like all last year with that shoulder, basically, he'll play even though he's got a foot and a rib injury. So it's concerning, but I think he's going to play. You know, there's no David Montgomery. That's a huge loss going into a game like this, because the last thing you want to be is one-dimensional against the Raiders with those pass rushers. It's a dangerous matchup. I don't like the matchup for the Bears this weekend. So certainly, Damian Williams with the quad, that looks like he's going to be fine. He's practiced in full the last 2 days. But, you know, not having Hicks, not having Montgomery, that's tough. That's going to be tough to overcome.
The defense has got to get pressure on Derek Carr. The Raiders are 25th best in allowing pressure on Derek Carr. Do you think without Akeem Hicks that they can use a rotation in the front seven to get enough pressure on this dude?
Cap, I think they can. Bilal Nichols is playing really well. That's real encouraging. You know, Angelo Blackson is
Mario
playing pretty
Edwards.
Well up front. I think they can, but here's the thing. So I watched that game like you guys did on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders were just off. I don't know what else to say. They were just off. Carr was off. They didn't target Waller until later in the first half, which you know is not going to happen on Sunday. He's going to get a ton of targets. And we'll see. I'm sure Roquan Smith's going to have to do a lot of defending there. And he's their best coverage linebacker because he can run so well. But that's going to be a real, real big challenge. Carr was just off. But when he's on, he's a good quarterback. I don't know why Gruden wants to get rid of him so badly every year. Every year it's that storyline in Vegas with the Raiders. He is very talented. You know they have big play receivers. They run the ball well with Jacobs. This is tough. But, yes, Cap, to answer the question, I do believe they can get pressure. I just expect the Raiders to play a lot better at home. And, but you know what? There's going to be a ton of Bears fans there. So if the Bears could find a way to weather that early storm and hang in there, you know, I'm curious to see kind of what the composition of the crowd is, because I know tons of Bears fans are going to Vegas. But Raiders are just better than what they showed, and offensively they just have so many mismatches that it's going to be tough for the Bears to clamp those down.
You know, Cap and I earlier, JD, were talking about the weapons for Justin Fields, right? I mean, so it's Mooney, it's Robinson, and then the running game when Montgomery is healthy. But we're talking about the tight end spot with Cole Kmet. And I'm just not ready to just, you know, like Yurko, just kind of stamp Kmet, not necessarily as a bust, but just like ineffective. So what is the likelihood that Kmet can be able to get more catches here? Because effective in run blocking, yes, and pass protection, yes. But what's the likelihood that he'll be able to be more of a catalyst offensively for the Bears?
That's the plan, Jonathan. Yeah, I personally wouldn't say, okay, he can't play. I just don't think you know what you have. I don't think the Bears know what they have. They just haven't used him enough. I mean, the projections coming out of college is that he was going to be a real effective two-way tight end. And we just haven't seen them throw him the ball. I don't think it's because they view him as a lesser player than what they originally perceived. I just don't think they have found ways to get him involved enough. I'm with you. I mean, I think that's a huge area where the Bears can improve. And now, again, you're talking about not having your starting running back. So there's more pressure on Cole Kmet, on Allen Robinson. You love what you saw with Darnell Mooney and Justin Fields last week. That's a great connection, and I think that's going to continue to be really one that pays dividends for the Bears. But tight end, I mean, it's so important to have a tight end in this league that is a mismatch, like a Darren Waller, who has emerged as one of the great. Now, I'm not saying Cole Kmet's going to be Darren Waller. Don't get me wrong. I'm not putting him in that category. But he can do a lot more, I think, than what he has so far been asked to do. And I know that, you know, that's something Matt Nagy talks about every week, but it's just, for whatever reason, it just doesn't get a lot better. And I just don't think you know what you have in that player yet.
The quarterback situation, I want to get back to that for a second. Mm-hmm. What do you expect out of Justin Fields? It came out in a jumbo package last week, ran about 9 yards. Bam, here we go. And I don't think that that was at all what Matt Nagy would have done if he was calling the plays. In fact, I know for a fact that was a Bill Lazor call, and he said, that is what we're doing. And Matt said, okay, go for it. Do you think Matt is truly done calling plays?
No, I don't think he's truly done. But I think he made the right decision to let Lazor do it, and I think Lazor had a very good game. However, guys, we have to put this out there, right? It was the Lions. And I know it's been a good week, and I know the Bears won. And they're 2-2, which is where they should be. But it was the Lions. That defense was terrible. Mm-hmm. What is Dan Campbell teaching those guys? Biting ankles or whatever he's doing? That's a bad defense.
Yeah.
This is a good defense. This is a defense that's going to cause you some problems. So, no, I don't know if they come out jumbo package. Here's what I thought, Cap, what Bill Lazor said yesterday that really resonated with me. Is that whenever you call plays for Justin Fields, you're going to have designed quarterback runs. It's always going to be in the mix. Now, the question is how many. There are some games where he might only run the ball twice on a designed QB run. There's going to be other games where that number might be 8 to 10. If there's ever a week for it to be 8 to 10, it's this week without David Montgomery. So that's what, Cap, that's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting Justin Fields to run the ball a lot, and he should. No, I'm not saying that you sacrifice the passing game or anything like that, but, you know, they got to find a way to keep the Raiders guessing. Because, again, if they become one-dimensional, they're done. That line will not block the Raiders. They will get smoked. It won't be as bad as Cleveland, but it will be somewhere on that level. So that to me, is my feeling. But as far as Nagy goes, oh, come on, Cap. You know eventually he's going to eventually be calling plays again somewhere. Or you know, maybe here. I don't know, but... Yeah, I you know, he gave it up last year for a little bit, you know, then he, you know, took it back. You know that eventually he'll be back calling the shots.
I don't think he'll ever call a game again in Chicago.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't go that far. I don't deal in absolutes. But I think that he will eventually call plays again. That's my guess. So we can wager a quarter or something on that.
Deal. So based on the numbers and your formula and the Dickerson formula, you have the Bears winning?
Yes, I have the glass beakers with the smoke coming out right now in my office. Mm-hmm. I have the many calculators with the many streams of paper. I've crunched the numbers in only my special analytic way, and I think I had the Raiders 28 and the Bears 17. I just don't like the matchup, guys. I don't like the matchup. I know it's a short week for the Raiders. I just don't like the matchup.
Well, I have the over in the game, so we agree there. I actually think the Bears cover the 5.5.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Okay. It'll be close. You know, again, the building is going to be alive. I mean, they have a chance to
I just don't think it's
a great trip. You know, Sylvie will be there yelling, I think.
I just don't think the Raiders are as good as you do. I just don't.
Okay. Well, then we will, you know, I think, you know what, Cap? I think Sunday is a good test of that, right? I think we will see. I watched them. I've watched every one of their games. I think the Chargers are terrific.
Yeah,
Justin
agreed.
Herbert.
Agreed.
Wow.
Agreed.
Something.
All right, JD, so have a great day, man. Best to Parker.
Thank you, guys. Hey, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, okay?
You too.
Thank you, JD.
There he is. That's Jeff Dickerson. Brought to you by the Pride Stores. Right now, if you purchase select food items at the Pride, including Urban Counter and Taco Urbano, a 20-ounce drink is only 59 cents.
Attention, please. Get your pencils and scorecards ready as we give you the correct lineup for today's ball game.
Correct. You will get the White Sox lineup fresh from Tony La Russa. It's interesting. It's next.
Pat Piper.
Scratch your morning sports itch.
This is Cap and Jay Hood, our new morning show.
On ESPN 1000 and the new ESPN Chicago app.
Because it's Friday.
It's time for the Friday Folder.
And you ain't got shit to do.
On the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
The Friday Folder. We love doing this together. Me and Hoodie every Friday. And it's brought to you by the wonderful people at FABT. .com, the website. As for our guy, Steve Shapiro. Danny!
I'm going to App today straight after this show.
What are you buying?
I need a new set of headphones. I think you do also, to be honest. I'm not making a joke. I actually need a new set of headphones for running.
Like AirPod type.
Yes.
You don't wear AirPods.
No, though. Those aren't good for running.
Why?
They make these Under Armour ones that are amazing for running. You don't even feel that they're in. They don't slip out.
Nice.
But you also need a new pair. Guys, let's get on.
Hold on a second. How about your headphones?
They're fine.
What are you wearing right now?
I don't even know what.
No, what are you wearing right now? You know what you're wearing?
$4 Walmart brand.
A pair of Sennheisers, as I told you.
Yeah, I don't like them.
Yeah, but why don't you put yours on, Cap? What's the problem?
Because they go to sleep. They're the Apple AirPod Max things, and I can't figure out how to wake them up.
But you just keep rolling them in every day.
Every day.
Knowing that it only works for a 2-hour show, not 3.
Right.
Kind of like Cap.
It goes out like Cap. He's done and done. These shows should be 2 hours. Take that.
Why do Carmen and Yurko only get to do 2 hours?
I get to the topics.
All right, boys.
Mike, before you leave, can you make this show 2 hours? Take that.
Wow.
I need a nap.
In the meantime, Mike's like, I'm gone already.
I can't make it 2 hours for you, Cap.
All right, guys. Randy at Rose Arena made history yesterday, becoming the first player in playoff history to steal home and hit a home run in the same game during Tampa's 5-0 victory over the Red Sox.
I love the stealing of home, man. I mean, again, you only see this pretty much in black and white films now when Jackie Robinson came down the line. But when you see it, so get back on your Rose Arena bandwagon like you were last year. That guy is an exciting player. Tell him, Cap.
He's amazing. Wasn't that the guy I was yelling to Carm last year? The Sox need to go, whatever it takes, go get that guy.
That's right.
Because when his contract, when he's going to get paid, they're going to deal him. Go get him now.
Yes.
Man, it's such an exciting play.
Yeah.
The steal of that. I'm not talking, and Javi in 2016 did it, but it was guy on first took off, and then Javi beat the throw back home. It's a steal of home. This was a straight steal. First time since who? Jackie Robinson?
Jackie Robinson, 55.
Okay, so straight steal of home, and it was, whoa, that guy's already sliding across the plate.
It's balls.
Balls. It was awesome.
Danny.
Gentlemen, Russell Wilson's status is up in the air after leaving the Seahawks' loss to the Rams with a finger injury. He had made 149 consecutive starts. That's the longest streak by an active quarterback.
I didn't want to see him leave the game, but we were able to see Geno Smith, who I forgot was the backup to Russell Wilson.
Didn't even realize he was in the NFL. It's like, who's that dude? When it said, first I saw Smith, I'm like, who the heck?
Geno?
That can't be Geno Smith. And I grabbed my phone. I'm like, oh, God. G. Smith. It's that. I'm like, that's Geno Smith.
Brother, it was a renaissance, man. He put the stick this needle in my veins, like the energy in my veins. He did that when he threw that touchdown. I'm like, Geno, he's going to stick it to the Jets. And then the interception ended the game.
How about that interception?
Tough. But, Jeff, awful. There was something to that interception,
yeah,
right?
Initially, it looked like just a horrible Geno Smith interception.
Typical Geno Smith.
Yeah, that's what everyone was thinking. But then they went to the replay, and you saw that Tyler Lockett actually stumbled out of his break. And so that just allowed for the defender to be wide open and catch it for the defense. Not like Matthew Stafford's interception in the first half, which was actually horrible when he was trying to throw it away in the end zone.
That was brutal.
Danny.
Brutal. Danny.
Gentlemen, your Chicago Bulls are switching back to wearing white jerseys at home. They announced that. This is a two-part thing. They announced it with having people read the first word of their last 6 tweets. Necessary or unnecessary work, you make the call.
It's social media. It didn't bother me.
Yeah, whatever.
They could have just told me. Just tell me the answer. Like, I got to go back and read the first 6 words.
It's the white jerseys. That doesn't bother me. But the white jerseys, you know what? That should be basketball anyway. It gets confusing out there, man. You got 2 road jerseys sometimes taking on one another. You're like, who's that now?
Correct.
Who's that?
Well, sometimes, like in baseball this year, the Red Sox were wearing yellow jerseys. And I remember I flipped around. I'm like, who's that? The team in yellow with blue writing. Oh, yeah. That's the Red Sox City Connect jersey. Basketball. One day it's Los Bulls for Latin night. And then one day it's a black jersey with the stripes. Yeah, just simplify it. I know it's all about selling product.
I knew I had gotten old hoodie when I said to myself, Man, teams have too many jerseys these days. It's like, oh, damn it, I've turned into an old man.
Now you're Fred.
Yes.
Too many jerseys.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do it. But I like the color scheme, though. White should be always at home. White should always be at home. You want to mess around with the road jerseys and you want to sell those? I get it. But I believe home jerseys should always be white.
Agreed.
For me.
Daniel.
Gentlemen, the Chicago Marathon is this weekend. 35,000 participants are going to run 26.2 miles through 29 of Chicago's neighborhoods.
We have seen a number of people that we normally don't see stop by the First Midwest Bank Studio on the outside. So you can tell a lot of people have come here to the city, descended on the city for a very special event.
Getting ready to crank it up for 26.2. That is one thing, like, I wanted to hike the Grand Canyon rim to rim, did it. There is no shot I could or would ever run a marathon.
No, but it's fun to watch, though. And by the way, I have some favorites who are going to win.
Really?
Yes.
Can you bet on it?
Of course you can.
You could bet on the Chicago Marathon.
Absolutely.
Okay, give me the guy from Kenya.
Yeah, I have. It's pretty much chalk, but because it's going to be someone from Kenya.
Like, there's not some dude from Bolingbrook that runs really fast. There's no shot.
Look at that guy, Jake from Evanston. Look at him. No, that's not happening. So, but pretty much I got chalk.
You know whose kid runs really fast? Is David Flom from Chicago Cut?
I thought you meant Avery Zetterman.
Avery Zetterman is a football star.
I see.
And baseball. Flom's kid.
And he's fast as hell.
Flom's kid can do a 440 mile for, I think, 7 or 8 miles. That's like...
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's incredible and also good enough for a cap to get a free meal just for the mention. Go ahead, Danny. Go ahead.
That's why I did it.
And I disagree that you can't run a marathon, Cap. Oprah did it. If she can do it, anyone can do it. To the Urban Meyer portion of the folder. I'm not lying. To the Urban Meyer portion of the folder, Urban Meyer's wife is finally speaking out about her husband's infamous night at the bar. She tweeted, "We all make mistakes. We are all sinners. If you think you are not, then cast the first stone."
I can't put my finger on that comment. What does she mean?
Like, if that video popped up and
I don't
that
think
was
a stone fits there, honey.
And that was me,
you haven't met the right person.
True. There you go. Maybe Urban has.
If that comment was about you from Peacock or me, Mindy. I don't know Meller's wife well enough. I think I know Diana a little bit. I'd get my ass kicked. She would not issue such a
no, but
complimentary statement.
Now, she's right. She's right by saying that. She's sticking by her man, mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. They have a relationship that you and I are not privy to, but she put it out there trying to douse the flames of, hey, everyone sins. Yeah, well, okay. She's right. Now, how do you handle that in the household? Is Urban in the bed with you? Is he in the side room? Like, where does he sleep? In the office? Hopefully, for that couple, they'll be fine.
Go fix your football team. I'll see you in a month.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Sleep on the couch in Jacksonville.
Correct.
Sleep on the TIAA stadium floor.
Correct.
Do that on the field. Stay
out
of the house.
Good enough for Baker Mayfield. That'll be good enough for you.
Pretty much, right.
Danny.
So there you go, Danny.
If that was me in the video, you guys would find me in a laundry bag out on State Street, but I would be dead.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. That was when I saw that video, that was a shocker. Go ahead, Dan.
Sticking with the video, guys, the mom of the woman from the Urban Meyer video is worried about her daughter's emotional status. Quote, "She can't even go anywhere. It's ruining her life. It's what it's doing. I'm worried about her emotional status."
She can't. Well, what has happened when she goes out?
She's getting threats on social media, and people know what she looks like, so she's getting hassled. Her company said she's been a great employee, but we're going to launch an investigation into what went on. And her mom said, please, she loves her job. Don't fire her. She just bought a house.
Yeah.
Get in the eye of the storm, man. That beast, the media has to eat.
Yeah, she's getting in the thick of it for sure.
Yeah. Danny.
Go ahead, Danny.
Gentlemen, genius God, dogs can learn the names of more than 100 toys, a study finds. They're all border collies.
Do you believe that, Dan?
100% yes.
I 100% agree. As the father of three dogs, no question about it. Dogs can be brilliant.
Your dogs can't identify games. What that what? Hey, Yosh, what is that? Sorry? What is that? Monopoly?
Risk.
What's that? Like, come on now.
They can.
Connect Four. Take that.
Like, I go down to work out in the basement, and there are times I don't want the dogs down there. And I went around the island in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I would figure Stanley, and I had a treat over there. I'm like, here you go, Stanley. He's the one that fights to get down there.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked at that treat and went, not hungry. Oh. And he cut me off. I went around the island. He took the shortcut. He was sitting there waiting for me right at the door. Really? Dog's brilliant. Hey, let's go upstairs. And you can go up the stair, turn left, and come down the other side of the staircase.
Yeah.
No shot. He went three steps up, saw me go, right back down and waiting at the door again. Brilliant.
But does that say that dogs can identify Uno?
100 names. That's a lot of memory, Cap. I bet you can't remember 100 names.
Wait a minute. You know what?
I could write 100 phone numbers down for you and tell you who they belong to.
You know what?
Do that at the break.
You know what? I screwed up. I thought he said games.
No, I said names. I was glazing past that
because
I was covering for you.
No, I messed up. I thought you said games.
Names.
I apologize. I'm aging before your very ears. I thought you said games. Names, yes. I could.
Now, what did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
What they did is they took like a doll that looked like SpongeBob and they told the dog SpongeBob. And then they took another one. They said like, you know, Cabbage Patch or whatever, 100 names, and then they said, go get SpongeBob, and the dog went and got the right dog. So it learned 100 names.
That's E1 on the host.
That's pretty amazing.
I thought he said games.
Games, they sound familiar, Hoodie. No worries at all.
Sorry about that.
Now, if Cap made the same mistake, we would be lambasting him for a week.
Yeah, no question. All right, it's best trends.
Wait, you don't want to hear it one more?
Oh! No, I'm 9:48.
Uh-huh. He knows the time.
We have trends with Carmen DeFalco next.
My fault.
Hey, this hour brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join Northwestern Football when they host Purdue in the Wildcats Classic November 20th. Tickets on sale now at Cubs.com/football.
It's Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. Follow the show on Twitter at CapJHood. This is ESPN 1000.
Chance to do trends, best trends with Carmen. We'll get to him in 2 seconds. My guy, Jonathan Hood, diehard White Sox fan, will be out and about again this weekend.
Indeed, on Sunday between 7 and 9 p.m., I'll be at the White Horse Inn in New Lenox.
Oh, yeah.
So for those of you in the south suburbs, southwest suburbs in the city, come by. I'll be on the south side, south suburbs in New Lenox, White Horse Inn, brought to you by Miller Lite for a playoff watch party. We'll give away some great prizes. Stop by between 7 and 9 this Sunday.
And White Sox lineup, Tim Anderson leads off at shortstop. Luis Robert in the two-hole in
Thank
center.
Thank God.
Abreu will DH and hit third. Grandal catches. Jimenez hits fifth. Moncada sixth. Andrew Vaughn starts at first base, hitting seventh. Leury Garcia is at second, and Adam Engel is in right.
Moncada had a good game yesterday, don't get me wrong, but I like Robert hitting second better.
Absolutely.
I want the extra at bat for Moncada, for Robert. So
you know how this works? We have our best trends with Carmen. As Cap will ask NFL questions, I'll ask college questions. Go ahead, pal.
Let's get it on. All right, let's talk about your favorite NFL game on the board.
You got to listen to the odds couple to get my favorite NFL
game. There you go.
Well, I tell you, here's a good game, though. I mean, Buffalo on the road.
Kansas City.
At Kansas City. Thank you very much. The rematch of last year's AFC title game. Everybody's calling it the Super Bowl for Buffalo. Should be a pretty attractive game for bettors because it's going to be such a watched game. And we got another good, hyped up Sunday night game. Big total. Highest of the year, I think, so far in the NFL. Probably will close somewhere where it sits right now. It is at 56.5 as we discuss it right now. A lot of points. 38-24 final last year.
Both offenses are great. And let's face it, Kansas City's defense is dreadful. For as great as Kansas City's offense is, the defense is horrid. So probably a last team with the ball is going to score and win this game. It should be literally that exciting. This is a huge step up in class for Buffalo. As great as the defense has played, they pitched two shutouts. They faced Davis Mills, making his first start on the road in the NFL. They faced Taylor Heinicke. I like him. He's scrappy, but it's Taylor Heinicke. Mm-hmm. They faced the broken down Big Ben. They faced Tua, who got hurt, and then Jacoby Brissett, who had to come off the bench cold. So this is a whole different animal for that Bills defense. We'll see. I think a lot of points will be scored, and it should be fun.
Say it out loud. Number three against number four in college football, Iowa against Penn State. I have it here as Iowa, 1.5 point favorite. The over under is 21.
That's what it should be. Right. It's actually 41. Right. Let's cut it in half. Yeah, it should make be it 21.5. Okay.
Right. What do you think?
Two of the stingiest defenses in the NFL and the college football. Excuse me. That's why Hoodie's making that joke. He's absolutely right. I mean, hard not to predict it being kind of a low scoring, slug it out affair, right? Petras has played a little bit better the last couple weeks, but I don't know that I totally trust that Hawkeyes offense, especially against this Penn State D. Hawkeyes had lost six straight in this series before they went into Happy Valley last season and won 41-21 as a modest 1-point favorite, just like it is right now. So maybe a revenge game for Penn State. Remember, they lost five in a row last year to start the season, and the fifth loss was that Iowa game at home. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost since. So keep an eye on Penn State, maybe as a little live dog. I hate to say it for my brother who went to Iowa and all the Iowa fans. Maybe Penn State, very hungry, going to go in and try to make a statement in Iowa City this week and try to avenge last year's
loss. All right, back to the National Football League. My best bet of the weekend is the Vikings laying 9.5 to the visiting Lions, who are gutted with injury.
They are.
They've had their heart ripped out. They got pounded here last week. What do you think of that game?
Well, I don't know that I could make a best play laying that many points, but I don't think you're wrong, Cap. I mean, I think you're on the right side of that game. I didn't even work that game up too much, to be honest. I mean, the Lions, like you said, they're scrappy and they play hard, but they're just not good. We saw it on full display. You can't have three trips inside the 10-yard line on your first three possessions and come away with no points. I mean, it's why you're 0-4. It's why you're that franchise. It's why he's there trying to fix it, trying to turn things around. The Vikings, I feel like we say this a lot year in and year out, like week to week over the years. They're enigmatic. I mean, they're tough to figure sometimes. Just when you want to really start, I don't want to say believing in Kirk Cousins, but just when you start complimenting him, he goes out and he's Kirk Cousins again. I mean, they scored on their first drive. After that, the offense did very little. I get it. Cleveland's defense is terrific, but he made some dreadful decisions late. I mean, the Browns were almost, because of how bad they were offensively, trying to say, go ahead, take it. They wouldn't. This is a totally different animal, though, because Detroit's just not very good. So I think you're probably right. I wouldn't make it a best play because it's a lot to lay, but I think you're right.
You like that!
Carm, we have seen this as a pick'em. We've seen it as high as 1.5. Notre Dame goes into Virginia Tech. Man, right now in DraftKings, it's a 1-point favorite for Notre Dame. How do you handle that?
Is it Drew Pine? Is it Jack Cohen? I don't know how it could be. Is it I think he's a, is he a redshirt freshman or true? I think he's a true freshman. The third quarterback that they're deciding between. I mean, Brian Kelly was visibly frustrated by this. He's always visibly frustrated, but he doesn't know who his quarterback should be. Three first-half turnovers. One of them was on special teams, but three first-half turnovers did them, and they were down 17-0. They had seven offensive drives in the first half at home last week, guys. Two ended with interceptions. Five ended with punts. Brutal. Now you have to try to bounce back and go on the road at night in Blacksburg,
right,
which is historically pretty difficult. You're right, Hoodie. This is Vatek. They hate it when you say that. Sorry, Virginia Tech, for all you Hokies out there. Virginia Tech laying the point. This opened as Notre Dame a 1-point favorite, but it's swung to the other side. No play for me whatsoever, just because I don't know which quarterback it's going to be, and I don't know how you trust any of the Notre Dame quarterbacks right now. But tough spot to try to bounce back for Notre Dame going on the
National
road.
Football League. So do you put stock in that the Patriots, who are going on the road, I believe, to Houston, will have a letdown after focusing all their efforts on Brady? Or do you think Belichick against that club, he's going to crush them?
Belichick against that quarterback. I mean, we know. We don't have to keep repeating it every time he plays a rookie quarterback. He doesn't get beat by rookie quarterbacks. It's so rare. I mean, he's like 80-something% against rookie quarterbacks. And here you go.